Exodus chapter 4. And Moses replied and said, "But they will not believe me, nor listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord has not appeared unto you.'" This is Moses finding excuses why he can't do God's work, and we're all very terrible at making excuses. Our flesh, the human nature, whenever it's faced by doing something for God, we always want to find excuses not to say yes straight away. "Well, I've got to go to the toilet. Oh, I just need to make a drink before and instead of reading the Bible or whatever it might be." From small things to big things, we all want to make excuses that, "Oh, I can't be baptized right now. Oh, I can't do this for God right now." And this is how our nature is. So the Lord said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." And God said, "Throw it down on the ground." And he threw it down on the ground, and it became a serpent, a snake, and Moses fled from it. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and take it by the tail." He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. This, God explained, is how that they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. Now, a snake is a symbol of sin. And so Moses is being shown that, look, even in all your weakness, Moses, I can use you. Your rod can become a serpent, a snake, and you can take it by the tail. And then God gives him another sign that's rather similar. He said, "Put your hand into your bosom, into your chest." And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow, covered with this white skin disease. And God said, "Put your hand into your chest again." And he put his hand onto his chest again and pulled it out, and it was turned again as his other flesh. So leprosy is a symbol of sin. And so the point is that this hand became, as it were, covered in sin and then suddenly healed. So both the snake and leprosy are symbols of sin. And so what God is saying is that I can work through this. I can work through your weakness and even through your sin. Just in a moment, I can change it all. So he's trying to encourage Moses, who feels he's so weak, to be used by God. And so God said, "If they won't believe you, nor listen to the voice of the first sign, then they will believe the voice of the second sign. And it will happen, if they won't believe either of these signs, that you will take of the water of the river Nile, pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take out of the river will become blood." Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent. I was not like this before, nor since you've spoken to me. But I have a stutter." So poor Moses couldn't speak properly. He had a stutter. And isn't it amazing that God used a man with a stutter to speak forth his mighty words? So all the mighty words to Pharaoh were spoken by a man who couldn't really speak well. And God used a man like that to preach to Pharaoh and to do the great deliverance of his people. So, never think that because you're so weak you can't be used, or because you're not very good at something you can't be used to do that by God. Actually, that is the qualification. Like when Moses says, "Who am I?" And now he says, "Look, I've got a stutter." God's like, "Yeah, great, that's exactly right. That's the point, that's the purpose." And the Lord said to Moses, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" So these kind of disabilities are from God. They're not from demons or from the devil or from anything else. It is from God. "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." And Moses said, "O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of whoever you want to send." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses because he keeps making excuses. And God's patience with him is really amazing. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to you instead of a mouth, and you shall be to him as God. So again, you see Moses representing God, playing the role of God, functioning as God. And later it says God made Moses as God to Pharaoh. It doesn't mean that Moses was God, and it doesn't mean that Jesus is God. The fact that he functions as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brothers who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now you see, he's shy to actually tell Jethro the huge plan that God has got for him, just like we are. But it's only because of our lack of faith. And so the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go and return into Egypt, for all the men are dead who sought your life. This was 40 years ago. Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. Moses took the rod of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, when you go to return to Egypt, be careful that you do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart, that he will not let the people go. So God can harden or soften your heart. If you want to believe, God will help you believe. If you are hard-hearted and critical and nasty toward God, he will confirm you in that way. And you shall tell Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and tried to kill him. Now, how can God try to kill someone? This is to kill Moses, and it doesn't work out. It just shows that God is open to dialogue. He is open to intercession. He's very sensitive. So the Lord meets Moses in the inn, I presume it was through an angel, and tries to kill him. But then Zipporah, his wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. In other words, she circumcised him and threw it at his feet and said, you are a husband of blood unto me. So the angel let Moses go. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. You see how Moses really nearly died. The whole wonderful plan of God to save Israel through Moses very nearly didn't work out. And it was actually only his unbelieving wife who saved him. And it just shows how close God's plan came to just not working out. That's the same in how he works with us. So Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he'd commanded him. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of Israel, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. And he did the signs in the eyes of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Now when it says that God visited Israel, it doesn't mean that God came down for a visit. It means that God revealed himself through Moses and Aaron. And so it is when we're told that God visited his people through Jesus. God did not come down to the earth. This is a pagan idea. But God revealed himself through Jesus.